This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. That was a gut punch, a tough one to watch for Patriots fans tonight as they fall to the Ravens in the AFC Championship game, 28-13. Pats actually held a 13-7 lead at halftime. They were outscored 21-0 in the second half by the Baltimore Ravens. And look, I thought the Patriots would win this game. I thought they'd have to get in the 30s. And it turns out that's what they had to do. The offense was totally limited in this one, which is not unique for the Patriots in their postseason losses. They scored 13 points tonight. Their last four playoff losses coming into this one: 17 against the Giants in last year's Super Bowl, 21 against the Jets the year before that, 14 against these Ravens in 2009, and then 14 in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 42, first time around, against the New York Giants. So a commonality in some of these losses for the Pats: what is a high-powered, explosive offense, up-tempo with a ton of weapons, and certainly no Gronkowski doesn't help in this game tonight. But I don't feel the same way I did in the Super Bowl last year, where you really thought Gronkowski could be capable of something. They had a week to game plan. They knew he wasn't going to play. They had played without him. So the offense that's high-powered all season comes up short in the postseason yet again for the Patriots. So with the way they're built, with the way they roll over teams in the regular season, why isn't that the case in the postseason? And what's wrong? What's the commonality with some of the Patriots' offense, or some of these Patriots' losses, rather, with their offense? You can give us a call, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. I just put this out on Twitter, and it's true. These shows aren't fun to do. You know, coming in after a playoff loss and a gut punch like that, they're not fun to come in and do. But if you're looking for a place to vent, this is the place to do it. 508-298-0398 as the Patriots fall to the Ravens 28-13, one step shy of returning to the Super Bowl for the second straight year. Let's kick off the postgame show as we do each and every week with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
F***ing don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up!
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Look, not a ton of good in this one tonight for the Patriots, but we'll give you my view on it. I think top of the list is Aaron Hernandez. 9 catches, 83 yards. Had a long gain of 17. And is the guy that Brady looked to an awful lot tonight. I thought he played well on offense, as did Brandon Lloyd. 7 catches, 70 yards, made some plays outside the numbers. And I also thought that Rob Ninkovich, with that sack at the end of the first half on a third down, gave the Patriots the ball back with a 10-7 lead, and they were able to squeeze in some more points, 13-7 before halftime. So Hernandez, Lloyd, and Ninkovich on the good list for me. You look at the numbers, and Wes Welker put up a nice day. We'll get to him because he's on the other list here. Top of my bad list is Tom Brady. 2 picks. And the first one, I think you can put more on Ryan Wendell because he got bull rushed by McPhee and it turned into an Ellerby interception. But the second one, that's all on Brady. And look, the game's basically over at that point. But 54 attempts and the offense gets just 13 points. That's not getting it done. And as much credit as we give Brady in these wins, you have to look at him on the other side of the coin in some of these losses, as you have to do with Bill Belichick as well. And I thought for the second straight playoff game, Belichick had a head-scratching approach going into halftime. You know, the Patriots had 26 seconds after a first down to Aaron Hernandez. Brady ran out, towards the left sideline, didn't get out of bounds. Pats had a timeout to burn. They didn't call it right away. They settled for a field goal at the end of the half. Not guaranteeing they would have got in. Thought that was weird. And Belichick punted three different times in Ravens territory when the Patriots had short distances to pick up. They did go for it on fourth down once. They got it on that direct snap to Danny Woodhead. I was surprised they didn't do it more. Belichick clearly was playing that field position game. And it resulted in a couple of long drives for the Ravens. And finally, Wes Welker on the bad list. And as good as he was in this performance, eight catches, 117 yards. He was good on the punt return as well. The drop on a third down conversion that Welker would have had. And it was a third and seven. The Pats were up 13-7 at that point. And then the Ravens turned around and marched right down the field. It resulted in a Dennis Pitta touchdown, but a long drive, 10 plays, 87 yards. And again, after the drop by Welker, Belichick elected not to go for it, but it was fourth and seven. But the Patriots were in Ravens territory punting. So that drop by Welker on the heels of a big drop he had in the Super Bowl last year, I would bring him back. You know, I would bring back Welker again for a season, whether it's an extension, whether it's the franchise tag. I'd be fine either way, even though that second year is a hefty price tag. But people have put it out on Twitter, and if you want to go there, we'll listen to it. Is it Welker's last game in a Patriots uniform? If it is, it ends with another drop, and those plagued him all season. It's something we've touched on a lot on this post-game show. Also, the injuries were significant tonight for the Patriots. Aqib Talib goes out after breaking up a pass on the second drive intended for Anquan Boldin, who had two touchdowns for the Ravens later on in the game. They really could have used him against Boldin. The two drives he was on the field for were both three and outs for the Ravens. After that is when they started to get on track offensively, and especially in the second half, started to get on track offensively. Patriots also lost Stephen Ridley to a concussion, a head injury, as it was reported. He got knocked out cold by that guy again, Bernard Pollard, knocked out Ridley, and it's hard to pin it on Ridley for ball security or anything like that when the guy's knocked out cold. So he's injured, as is Kyle Love, who started over Dederick. Patriots have been going with Dederick next to Vince Wilfork on the interior. They lost him as well in this game. He didn't return. But the Talib one was significant because it changed how the Patriots defended that Ravens passing attack and Joe Flacco. And the Ridley one was significant because he gets knocked out of the game on a turnover where the Ravens really took over from that point. It was a one-possession game. And after the Ridley fumble, Boldin, four plays later, got his second touchdown. So again, Ravens beat the Patriots 28-13. We'll get to all your questions, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. What's up with the Patriots offense in these postseason losses? It is a common theme. 13 tonight comes on the heels of 17 in their Super Bowl loss a year ago, 21 in 2010 against the Jets, 14 in 2009 against the Ravens, and 14 in Super Bowl 42 against the Giants. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. We're presented by Sun Life Financial. They can help you protect your financial security whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit, get to know Sun Life. So we'll talk to you here on the phones. Let's kick things off with Joel in Atlanta. What do you got, Joel?
What's going on, Adam? It's very disappointing. You know, Patriots strive to be perfect the whole season and, you know, pretty much came out flat this game. You know, I'm almost speechless, to be honest. Just very disappointed right now and just the fact that our season is over and, you know, all this hype about our offense and it just like, just seems like the Ravens had the best defense this game. You know, Ray Lewis, the linebackers, they stayed put and they played the middle well and it's like Brady didn't have no one to go to and you know, pretty much that's how he got beat. You know, just very disappointed and I don't know what else to say, Adam.
But, yeah, I mean, look, I think you sum up how Patriots fans feel about it, Joel, and speechless is not a bad word for it. I think that's how a lot of Patriots fans are going to feel about this one, and thanks for the phone call. It's tough. You know, when you look at this Patriots offense, it's so high-powered in the regular season, and then this happens seemingly every postseason loss. So you can't totally say you didn't see it coming, even though I didn't see it coming. I thought the Patriots would get into the 30s. I thought they could move it on this Ravens defense, and I thought they'd be able to run it on this Ravens defense. And you know what? You look at the total raw numbers, and you say they ran it okay. Pats were over 100 yards, 108, but they averaged less than 4 yards a carry. So I was wrong about that. I thought the Patriots could run on this Ravens team, and they answered the bell. You know, they were able to limit the Patriots' rushing attack, which I didn't think they were capable of, and they obviously frustrated Brady for the second straight postseason matchup. Although the Patriots won it last year, Brady, two picks against the Ravens D. He had two in the AFC Championship game a year ago, and he had three all the way back in 2009. So three playoff matchups against the Ravens. He's thrown seven picks. They, you can say, have his number, and they've won two of those three matchups. 508-298-0398. That's your phone number to give us a call on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Let's go back to these phone calls. Let's go to Alvin in Texas. What do you got, Alvin?
Hey, what's up? I'm a little speechless disappointment, but no big deal. I'm still going to still cheer for this team next year. But the biggest question, are we going to get a better secondary? That's the biggest key in the offseason. I mean, we lost. I mean, you cannot say anything about it. It's like a huge disappointment, but there's always next year. We're still going to keep Tom Brady, and I hope they pay the man, Wes Welker, and I hope Gronk comes back. I mean,
well, look, I mean, I wouldn't be concerned about Gronk coming back. I mean, 100% healthy, I guess, is where you're going with it, Alvin. But I wouldn't be too concerned about Gronk coming back. I think he'll be back here. And I think he'll be back and healthy come next season. So the first point that he made, though, about the secondary, and what do the Patriots do to fix that? Re-signing Tlaib would be nice. And look, the guy may have made himself some money with how he played this season since he got to New England. But I don't know. I just look at it and I say, if they have him tonight in this game, it's different. But at the same time, that doesn't help the offense. That doesn't help, you know, what the Patriots are doing offensively tonight. So even if you have Tlaib, they only scored 13 points. So I don't know. I don't look at the D being the issue as much in this one. You know, I look to the offense and Tom Brady and some of the game management of Bill Belichick, and I say, what the heck? Like, what's gone wrong there? And I think punting three times in Ravens territory, that's the opposite of what Belichick does. I don't know if it's the Ravens inside his head. I don't know if it was the weather inside his head. But for whatever reason, they weren't going for it in Ravens territory. And I found that odd because Belichick is about as aggressive of a coach as there is out there. And you know, the drop by Welker was a killer as well. So you look at this offense. Why do they struggle in the postseason against some of these more physical defenses? I actually thought the O-line did a pretty good job throughout the course of this one, protecting Brady and keeping him relatively clean. But still, 13 points for this Patriots offense. What's gone wrong there? You can give us a call, 508-298-0398. Let's go to Malcolm in Baltimore. What do you got, Malcolm?
Hey, AJ, how you doing?
Doing well.
Good. I told you the other night to pay close attention to the third quarter and to look into Tom Brady's eyes, and you would see the pathetic and pitiful person that he was going to look like. Now, the good thing for the Patriots is that with Ray Lewis retiring, I will be willing to help the Patriots next season. But if not, then I'll just go on and do what I do well. And that's continue to make sure that the Ravens is always at the top of the food chain.
Yeah, I mean, Malcolm, I don't know. I just don't feel like hearing it, to be honest. The Patriots beat the Ravens last year in the AFC Championship game, so it doesn't always go that way for the Ravens in the postseason. So I don't know where he's coming from. He was right about his prediction. I mean, he's right about, you know, the Ravens winning this game, and he was right about the third quarter. I'll give him credit for that, but I don't know. I think the Patriots will be favored to return to another AFC Championship game next year. In other words, I mean, the caller two back was right. I mean, there's a bright future for the Patriots. There's still a young roster. The window's closing. It's a missed opportunity. There's no doubt about it. And this is not just a disappointing loss, but a failure of the Patriots not to get to a Super Bowl. Like, you're a 9-point favorite on your home field, 9 or 10, depending on where you shop, and you can't take care of the Ravens. So it's a failure. It's beyond a disappointment. It's a failure when you can't take care of this team on your home field and you show up the way you did. The season is a failure. You know, you had the road go through Foxborough to get back to the Super Bowl, and you didn't do it. And Belichick and Brady and Welker were big reasons why. The offense was a big reason why. But, you know, I look at it and I go, they should have been able to take care of business against the Ravens, but the caller's right. His prediction was totally right. I wouldn't read into it for anything going forward, and I wouldn't read into it because the Ravens aren't going to beat the Niners in the Super Bowl. I wouldn't think. I can't imagine they're going to be anywhere near favored, though the Ravens have overcome a couple of big point spreads the last couple of weeks. But I disagree with the last part of the caller's logic. Anyway, looking over some of the tweets here, this is from Dan Wetzel, Kevin Collins, is that right? From Yahoo Sports. Terrell Suggs, to reporters or just to Wetzel, I'm not sure which, said, tell the Patriots to have fun at the Pro Bowl. Those arrogant effers. These are the most arrogant pricks in the world, starting with Bill Belichick on down. So that's Terrell Suggs of the Baltimore Ravens. And look, with the Patriots, you know, what goes around comes around in that regard. You know, I don't disagree that the Patriots don't carry themselves in a way that will rub people the wrong way. So, you know what happens? If you rub people the wrong way, this is what you got to deal with when you lose. And I don't know, my sense is those comments aren't going to bother the Patriots or Patriots fans as much as the loss, which is another poor offensive performance for New England in a postseason loss. Let's continue with the phone calls. We can continue or start to mix in, rather, your thoughts on Terrell Suggs, his comments to Dan Wetzel. The Patriots are arrogant, and they can enjoy the Pro Bowl. Cedric is in Chicago. What do you got, Cedric?
Hey, Adam. How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. First of all, I want to tell you that, my God, you do a great and fantastic job.
Appreciate it, man.
Okay, I am very, very, very frustrated. I am stunned. I am speechless. I put the loss on Tom Brady. Because, I mean, he got outplayed, right, once again. I mean, like, you know, by Joe Flacco, you know, and I don't understand that. Because, I mean, like, you know, he has to be the elite quarterback that I expect him to be, you know, in those kind of games, you know, in the big games, you know. And I don't understand too, every time that our defense seems to play reasonably well, our offense always crap out the bed. You know, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I, Cedric, that's what I hone in on as well. And I would add Belichick to it as well for your frustration with Brady, which I think is on the money. He didn't play well. He hasn't played well in some of the Patriots' most recent playoff losses. We mentioned their last five playoff losses, they haven't scored more than 21 points. So if that's the case, Brady has to be in the mix. I thought Belichick, some of the punting in Ravens territory, ultra conservative from Belichick tonight. And that combination, Belichick and Brady, botched potentially more points right before halftime. So yeah, I lay it at their feet as well, Cedric. I agree.
So, for Wes Welker, I mean, why does he keep on having those drops? I mean, it was just, you know, amazing to me.
Well, Cedric, and on Welker, and I appreciate the phone calls, 508-298-0398. On Welker, what he did today is pretty much what Welker's done all season. It's what he did last week against the Texans. He had a big game, but he had a couple of drops. And because the Patriots lose, we're going to view those drops differently. But last week, Welker had 8, 9 catches, whatever it was, for 131 yards and 2 drops. This week, he had 2 drops. Don't forget, he had the one early on in the game as well. It was a 3rd and 2. Brady took a shot down the field to Welker. He put it in his hands. Calling that a drop is a bit harsh, but Welker's going to reel that in. So, I don't know. It's a microcosm of Welker season for me. I want him back. I would try to get him back on a contract or on the franchise tag. I would do either or. And I think the Patriots will have him back. I don't think that this performance or that drop, which again, isn't the reason they lost, but it was somewhat of a momentum turner. After that drive with the Patriots leading 13-7 and Welker drops it on a 3rd and 7 in Ravens territory, the game started to turn. The game started to turn at that point. So, I don't think the Patriots, you know, let him go because of this game or anything like that, but there was already a chance they let him walk. So how do you feel about Welker? Do you want him back? I do. But let's not pretend like drops haven't been an issue all year for him. They were. They were last week. They were this week again. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Adam in Fort Worth dials us up on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What do you got, Adam?
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
We're doing well, man.
All right. Yeah, just I think a lot of other people really disappointed. I don't know that I had high hopes for this game, but they always play us tough. But I think really echo a lot of your points. First of all, we knew it was going to be a problem if they did not get a pass rush without Tlaib, and they just didn't get a pass rush. And I think that was partially what did them in. And I think you reiterated the point earlier. You kind of saw this as the Patriots, the offense was going to have to take over this game, score 30 points and 13 points. I don't care if who you play, it's not going to get it done. And just for whatever reason, Brady and the whole offense included, just I don't know what it is between the play calling and non-execution. They kind of turtle when it counts the most in these big games. It's not the D's fault at all. I mean, you can't hold the D accountable for them scoring 13 points.
No, and I agree with that completely. And it's a good point. And Adam, thanks for the phone call. Look, the Patriots gave up 28, but that last touchdown for the Ravens, they had to go 47 yards, you know, in a short field after the Vereen fumble. And that was a major momentum turner as well, or Ridley fumble rather. And you can't blame Ridley for it unless you say he went up too high into the tackle or he should have got down or something of that nature, and I'm not going to go there with Ridley. So the guy got knocked out cold. What are you going to do? It's an unfortunate thing about football, but I don't put that on the defense. 47 yards? I mean, you want to stop there, obviously, but the offense put him in a tough spot with that fumble. And 13 points, I don't care how you look at it, isn't going to slice it. And that Brady pick, the first one to Ellerbe, wasn't really on Brady. It's Wendell getting overpowered by McPhee and having the pass batted straight up in the air, and it dropped right into Ellerbe's hands. But, you know, the offense, that was one play after a long play to Wes Welker, 36 yards, the Patriots' longest, actually, of the entire night. And the next play resulted in a pick. Then on the drive after that, Patriots are moving down the field again, or excuse me, on the play previous to that, the drive previous to that, they're moving down the field and they stall out. Turnover on downs where, I don't know what Phil Simms was talking about on the broadcast. He said he thought Brady had room to run and pick up the first down. He was going to get smoked. So Brady just kind of lofted it into the end zone on a 4th and 4, and Patriots didn't come up with anything. Welker couldn't create separation on the 3rd down play over on the sideline with that guy again, Bernard Pollard. So I don't know. The offense, for whatever reason, stalled out. And some of it is giving the Ravens credit. It is. But some of it is, why does the offense do this in these big games? You know, why does the offense continue to strike out in games against tougher defenses and bigger spots? And is it too simple to just sit here and say, you're going against better opponents, you're going against better defenses, and defense wins out over offense in some of these playoff matches for the Patriots? Or what Ian Badejo tweeted last week, is it the gimmick offense and a tough physical defense gets in there and shuts them down? I don't feel that way, but I don't know. I'm willing to discuss it here because I'm blown away. Not only have the Patriots lost, because I didn't think there was any way they lost this game. Didn't have a bad feeling about it all week. Thought they'd score on the Ravens. Thought the Ravens would score too, and maybe it'd be a tight game. But there was no doubt in my mind the Patriots were going to win this game. So I'm as surprised as anyone, and I am blown away that they scored 13 points in this game. And we've gone over some of their other offensive performances, but in their last 5 playoff losses, 13 is far and away the worst. So, I don't know. I didn't think we'd come in here and say, boy, the offense did nothing in the second half. They did nothing in the second half. They had all 13 points at halftime, and they could have had more in the first half, and they came out and did zero. So, I don't know. I look at it and blown away by the offense, but it's not the first time we've seen this in a big postseason loss. So we continue with your phone calls. Let's go to Eric in Connecticut. What do you got, Eric?
Oh, hey, Adam. How you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, it's a pretty rough night, frankly. I've been a Patriot fan since the snowplow game back in the 70s. So I enjoy the fact that we're playing at this level for so many years. I know it's not going to last forever, but a loss like this is devastating. You never get used to it.
No.
I just wanted to comment on what I think is part of the problem. It seems like the Patriots come into these games with a certain lack of enthusiasm. They just seem to... It's been the last few Super Bowls, this conference championship game. It appears to me that they don't have the swagger of their opponents. I thought you might want to comment on something on that kind of point.
Well, look, I think some of that is taken away by the way Belichick coached in the first half.
Right.
And, Eric, it's hard to qualify, but I guess I understand what you're getting at. But I think some of that, if you want to go there, and I guess I'm not 100% sure how I feel about that. You know, their swagger is the issue. I don't know. They're so used to rolling over teams, and they're so used to getting big leads that maybe that's part of it. When the offense isn't clicking and firing on all cylinders, do you start to look around and look at each other and say, well, what's going on here? And I don't know if that's swagger. I don't know if that's being an offensive front runner, and that's just what the Patriots are used to, and they play better from in front than they do in a tight game against a tough physical defense. Maybe it's some of that. But if you want to talk about the aggressive nature of the offense, I think Belichick took the wind out of the sails a bit. You know, punting three different times in Ravens territory. And not to say that I'd go for it on every single one, but I'm surprised. I'm surprised that Belichick was so conservative, because normally he's as aggressive as they come. And that's something that I like about Belichick. You know, that's something that I think more often than not, even with the 4th-and-2 in Indianapolis, and even with going for it on a 4th down earlier this year, and the Patriots coming up short because of it, you know, I still think the aggressive nature is the way to go. And today he didn't coach that way. And that's one of the most surprising things, that Brady and Belichick, not that they're responsible for the loss, because when the Patriots lose, it tends to be a game that Brady doesn't play well in, right? If he goes out and lights it up, the Patriots don't lose a lot of those games. And Belichick doesn't make mistakes in those games. You know, by definition of losing some of these games and having disappointing results, a lot of it goes back to the coach and the quarterback in the NFL. It's the way it is. But I'm not surprised that they're at the top of the list of blame for this loss in what was a failure of a loss for the Patriots this season. If you told me they had to go to Denver and win a game, that's one thing. I wouldn't call that a failure. I'd call it disappointing, but I wouldn't call it a failure. This is a failure. You're a 10-point favorite on your home field against a team you beat a year ago, and I feel this team is better than they were a year ago, or at least more talented than they were a year ago. Maybe that's a better word for it, or a better phrase for it. But the team that fails on this stage, coming up short yet again, I'm not surprised the coach and the quarterback are at the heart of it. I'm sort of surprised how they're at the heart of it. 13 points for the offense and some head-scratching decisions by Belichick, including the clock mismanagement at the end of the first half. Bill's in Colorado. What do you got, Bill? Hey, Bill.
I'm on.
Hey, Bill, you're on. What do you got?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Doing well.
Man, I'll tell you what, I've been calling you for weeks telling you it's going to be about the deep ball. And Baltimore did not go about the deep ball this week. But they outplayed us. They outcoached us. And quite frankly, man, I don't know. I'm a loss for words, man. I was expecting us to be complete in control of this game. And we were absolutely not in control of this game whatsoever. The first quarter, second quarter, beginning, maybe. Second half, we were not in control of this game. And it hurts, man. This is a tough loss. Tough loss.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think there's any love lost with this Ravens team, Bill. And I agree with your point. I mean, even though the Ravens made some plays over the top, it certainly wasn't like watching Denver, where Flacco was airing it out and just hitting Torrey Smith down the field. I didn't feel it was that way. I tend to agree. I think the Patriots, they didn't do a good job against Flacco, but I think they did a pretty decent job taking away the long ball. I'd agree with that point. And Bill, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. Longest play of the day for the Ravens through the air was the 26-yarder to Anquan Boldin. And the only big one to Smith, well, there were two. There was the one on the fourth drive of the first half, on the Ravens' first touchdown drive, and two drives after Tlaib left the game. It was a 25-yarder where he was able to get behind Arrington. It was a shot down the field. And I actually thought Arrington did a relatively good job, and normally he's been someone that I've criticized on this post-game show. He went in, and after that 25-yard completion, I go, here we go again with Arrington. I actually thought he made some nice plays on the Ravens' second scoring drive, their second drive of the second half. Arrington had a breakup. He had a tight coverage down the field against Torrey Smith. I didn't think Arrington played too poorly. And by the way, on the next drive, the third of the second half, the other long play to Torrey Smith, 24 yards, he got behind Dennard. But other than that, I didn't think the Ravens beat you by the deep ball. They beat you by working their way down the field for the most part. A lot of Dennis Pitta in this game. A lot of Anquan Boldin in this game, going up and making plays down the seam. But not true deep balls, not true shots. I don't think that's what hurt the Patriots in this game. 508-298-0398. That's how you give us a call here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. I promise we'll get to your emails as well. Webradio at Patriots.com. Another disappointing postseason loss for the New England Patriots, 28-13. They fall to the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game, as it'll be a Harbaugh Bowl in New Orleans in 2 weeks. It'll be Niners and Ravens. Coming up on the Patriots postgame show, we continue with your thoughts and we head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. That's next on Patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo sacks at Jerod Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Checking over some tweets, which I like to do in the breaks. I get a chance to read up on what everybody's talking about out there. And we'll get back to your phone calls, 508-298-0398. A lot of you waiting patiently. We'll get to your emails as well, webradio@patriots.com. Before we head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following the Pats' disappointing 28-13 loss in the AFC Championship game to the Baltimore Ravens. But a few more tweets rolling in from Dan Wetzel. We already told you about some of Terrell Suggs' comments about the Patriots being arrogant from Belichick on down. He also told Wetzel, among other reporters, that's funny. Ever since Spygate, the Pats haven't been able to win. Which is just one of those things that you really can't say anything about as a Patriots fan, which is why a fourth Super Bowl would go so long into shutting up people like Terrell Suggs. People can say it still, and you can't disprove it. There's nothing wrong about that statement. Since Spygate, they haven't won. Not a Super Bowl, and until they do, you're going to continue to hear stuff like that. That's what sucks about losses like this. It's what sucked about the Super Bowl last year, and 2010 against the Jets, 2009 against the Ravens, and the first Super Bowl go-round against the Giants, which may have been the biggest gut punch of all. But ever since Spygate, they haven't been able to win. You have to continue to deal with that as Patriots fans, which is disappointing. Wetzel also talked to Brendan Ian Badejo. Remember the Ravens linebacker who took to Twitter and called the Patriots offense a gimmick last Sunday? On his comments, Ian Badejo said, I apologize to my teammates. I didn't apologize to the Patriots. I said what I feel. And look, give him credit. He was right. Like, he was right on the money. The Patriots couldn't do what they did to the Ravens. Or couldn't do what they did to the Texans against the Ravens, rather. You know, they weren't able to just line up, and the Ravens were set. They were ready to go. So give Ian Badejo credit. I don't know how much he was out on the field today. But that Ravens defense made the Patriots offense look like a gimmick. He wasn't wrong about that. And it's tough to deal with stuff like that. But look, Patriots said similar things that the Ravens have said in the past. When you win and everyone's doubting you or everyone was on the other team, you get to have your day in the sun. That's what the Ravens are having right now. It's disappointing, but it's the way it is. Breer or Albert Breer, the NFL Network, also had this. Wes Welker was asked if he thinks he'll be back in New England in 2013. I'm not sure, and I'm not worried about it right now, said Wes Welker. So we can mix in your thoughts on all of those. Terrell Suggs popping off at the mouth. Patriots offense disappointing again in a playoff loss. Just to reiterate, they scored 13 today. They scored 17 in last year's Super Bowl, 21 against the Jets in 2010, 14 against the Ravens in 2009, and 14 in Super Bowl 42 against the Giants. So what's up with the offense in some of these playoff losses, and what do you do with Welker? All of that on the table at 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio at patriots.com. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. What's going on, Melvin?
Nothing much. Wow, you said a lot. I don't know where the most disappointing thing to me, I would think, I don't know what Marquise Cole was doing on Bolden. And once Tlaib went out, I just feel like I think that the Ravens did better adjustments with not just running the ball, going, line up and shot. I would have too, and just throwing the ball in New England, because we're still back at the same place we were last year with, I feel like, lack of pass rush. Because what have been 12 for, you know, what they block him for today. You can't depend on him so much to stop the run and, you know, having a defensive tackle apply, you know, a good pass rush. Ninkovich did well, got loose a couple of times. But, you know, we need somebody else other than that consistently. And we thought we were going to find that with Chandler Jones, I know, the first half of the season, but this later part of the season, he just kind of went nowhere. And as far as the offense goes, you know, like I said, I don't know, once Wes Welker dropped that pass, that he would have had a sure first down on. I don't know, I just started getting those same thoughts in my head that, I don't know, like I said, just the clutch moments, because, you know, you score it during that position, you put yourself up two possessions, and, we just couldn't come through with it. They never have that killer instinct in some of these games to put these teams away, because it was right there in his hands. I mean, the two guys got confused right there in his chest, and he dropped it. I mean, I still think he's a great player. You know, it's just, like I said, they just don't have that killer instinct like they used to have.
Well, and so. Melvin, the way I put it, and thanks for the phone call, the way I put it is, this was a microcosm of Wes Welker's season. And honestly, how different was it than last week, other than the fact that the Patriots were able to move past his drops? Welker had two drops in the first half last week. He had two drops tonight. And he's had a ton of drops this season. So let's not pretend like it's something new with Wes Welker, who had a good game, 117 yards, eight catches, one of the Patriots' two touchdowns. Excuse me, the only Patriots touchdown, my mistake, the only Patriots touchdown that they had. And he was great on punt returns today. He was. He had a couple of punt returns that set up the Patriots with a short field. He averaged 14 yards a return with a long of 28. So I want Welker back, but this needs to be looked at because the drops were an issue all season. And I don't know if that's a mental thing with him. I don't know if it's going to be something you're going to have to deal with for forever now with Welker. I'm not sure. But, you know, for me, my sense is, coming off the drop he had last year, and this is something that's plagued him all season, it might be something you have to continue to deal with. And that's disappointing with Welker. But that drop, just to reiterate Melvin's point, Patriots were up 13-7, their first drive of the second half, after they got the Ravens to punt on their opening drive. So Patriots get the ball. They're moving it. They're in Ravens territory. Welker has a drop on 3rd and 7. Would have been a surefire first down. Now, I don't know that the Patriots would have gone into the end zone and scored, but certainly they were moving the ball, and they should have had a first down there. They punt to the Ravens, who promptly go right down the field, 10 plays, 87 yards, to go in front on Dennis Pitta's 5-yard touchdown where he torched Steve Gregory. So it's 14-13. Next drive for the Pats, 3 and out. However, what you may have forgotten about that 3 and out is they had a first down. Danny Woodhead had a catch for a first down on 3rd and 2. Nate Solder's hold negated that. So the Pats are down 14-13. They punt it back to the Ravens, who go 10 plays, 63 yards. Bolden gets his first touchdown where he goes up and over McCourty. Nothing McCourty can do about it. And on the drive after that for the Pats, they pick up a first down. Ridley gets knocked out by Bernard Pollard. 4 plays later, the Ravens have it 28-13, and that was the game. That was the game. So Welker is where it started to come unraveled a bit. Not that he's the only issue, and I have him lower than Belichick and Brady. And Brady-Belichick would actually be the correct order for me. But I have him lower than those two, but he's on the list. He was on my bad list because that drop, where it happened in the game and what happened in the immediate aftermath, It's something you can point to and look at and say, if nothing else, that was a momentum changer for the Patriots right then and there. Let's go to Patrick in Brooklyn. What do you got, Patrick? Hey, Patrick. All right. Let's go to Robin in Oregon. What's going on, Robin?
Hey, Adam. Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
Hey, listen. I just think, okay, I mean, the team that we have, it's great. They're young. You know, also trying to make, you know, everybody make plays. But I think we need some gamers. I think we need some veteran gamers to teach these players, these young players, how to win games, how to have balls. And I think, you know, even if you're, like, old, like Reed, you know, he's a free agent next year. We need gamers because these young kids, they don't know how to win. And then that's the issue. That's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, Robin, I guess I don't know that I fully agree with that. They got to a Super Bowl with a younger team last year, or maybe not younger, but some young players at key spots. So I don't know. I agree. I like the youth that they have. I think they know how to win. I just wonder if the offense and what they're able to do against mediocre teams in the regular season, and even a team that statistically was a good defense in the Houston Texans, you know, showed they weren't a tough team last week. But when you get against a defense like the Ravens or like the Giants or like the Jets, which are the teams they've lost to in their last five playoff games or their last five playoff losses, when you go against defenses like that, I don't want to go as far as to say it's a gimmick, but, you know, you need to figure that out because it's been an issue in all five of those losses, Robin. And thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. You know, like I said, it's a commonality, it's a common thread with these losses for the Patriots. And again, I don't want to say it's a gimmick, but you have to figure it out. And I thought the Patriots had. It's why I was bullish on the Pats in this game. I thought with the running game that they had this year, that was going to be the solution. And they never really got to the up-tempo stuff or the hyper-fast offense that they have. They never really got to that. And they didn't run it great. They were kept to less than 4 yards a carry. They ran it okay. It's not like the Ravens totally stopped them like they did in the first match this year in Week 3. But the Patriots didn't run it the way I thought. So maybe you got to continue to get an identity there, or maybe you're too reliant on the finesse offense, and you have to get back to being a more physical offense. And maybe Gronkowski would have helped there in this game. I don't deny that. And I probably undersold his loss coming up to the matchup. I didn't think it would be as significant. And there was nobody stretching the field. It certainly wasn't Lloyd. He made some plays outside the numbers, but he wasn't loosening things up underneath. And not that the Patriots didn't have success to Hernandez and Welker, but it's part of the reason those guys got popped in the game tonight. It's part of the reason Welker got his block knocked off on a couple of those catches. And Pollard laid him out before he knocked Ridley out of the game. That's part of the reason, because everybody's so tight and bunched up to the line of scrimmage. So that's where you miss Gronk tonight. And I undersold that. I thought Lloyd would pick up the slack there, and that wasn't the case. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. What do you got, Joe?
Hi. I'm just making a few comments. In regards to Wes Welker, I love Wes Welker. I think he was great for the Patriots. But, you know, if Julian Edelman comes back, I think he was being very productive for the Pats. Getting back to your Belichick decision with the defense, Pats defense was dominating early on. So I just don't know why Belichick didn't go for at least one of those three fourth down plays. The third thing is, do you think that the Patriots will sign Tlaib? I believe he's a free agent, and a little bit more of a sarcastic comment, but I wonder what Giselle is going to, who she's going to blame.
Yeah, well, we'll see if she's learned anything from last year. And Joe, I appreciate the phone call. I hope they re-sign Tlaib. I think that's more about Tlaib than them. I'm sure they want him back, and it's what he's going to ask for, and they'll have a price on him just like they have a price on anyone. So I don't know the market on Tlaib. They should bring him back. You saw with him in the game today, and it was only two drives, but 2-3 and outs for the Ravens. So Belichick and his decisions not to go for it. The first one was in Patriots territory. It was a 4th-and-2 at the 42. And remember, Belichick had that weird fake punt where the Patriots just said they forced the Ravens to call a timeout. They came back out and they punted it. So they were just showing it off, I guess. On the Patriots' next drive, they had a 4th-and-2 all the way at the Baltimore 12, and they settled for a field goal. So that's a 4th-and-2 where you take the points, I guess, but still, It's the Ravens' 12-yard line. The following drive, it's a 4th and 9 at the Baltimore 35, but it's all the way at the Baltimore 35. The drive after that, and this is a big one, 4th and 2 at Baltimore's 45. That's one I think you can circle right there. End of the first quarter, 4th and 2, Baltimore's 45. You can go for that. And the only other one that we discussed was the play by Welker in the second half, early third quarter, where he dropped it, and that was a 4th and 7, but you're still in Ravens territory. So not all of them, the down and distance, were super close, but you can second-guess settling for a field goal to open the game, though it did put the Patriots in front 3-0. And you can certainly second-guess that other one. Baltimore 45, end of the first quarter, 4th and 2. And you elect not to go for it. The defense was good out of the gates. I think the defense was good all day. They struggled on a couple of consecutive drives against the Ravens, where the Ravens scored on 3 straight. Their 2nd, 3rd, and 4th drives of the second half, but one of them they had a short field because of the Patriots' offense and the Patriots not being able to hold on to the football. Even though Ridley got knocked out, that turnover led to a short field for the Ravens. Squeeze in one more phone call here. Let's try Patrick in Brooklyn. What do you got, Patrick?
How are you, Adam? Adam, I share your sentiments on a number of issues, but I think what I'm noticing about the Patriots in the playoff with their offense is that the teams that employ that old Miami Dolphin defensive strategy, like when they had Sam Madison, where they tighten up against the Patriots and force them, and play the receivers really tight, it seems like New England can't react to that too well simply because, they really don't have a deep threat. And the second thing I noticed was Tlaib went out. That definitely hurt the team. And then the defense, although they played well, there was no pass rush to speak of. Flacco wasn't really under much pressure. So although the offense really is more to blame here, it just seems to me that the lack of a deep threat by New England is really what hurts them in the playoffs because teams really pack it in against them.
Well,
and I think that's the problem because I believe Baltimore basically said, hey, we're going to jam everything together. Let's see you go deep. And they never could do it.
Well, and Patrick, it's not the first team that's done it, and you're right. Other teams have tried to employ that as well. And I thought that's why the Patriots had Brandon Lloyd, and they didn't take shots down the field to Lloyd whatsoever. They made plays outside the numbers, but they didn't take shots to him or take shots with him. And I thought that's why he was here. And having Gronkowski out, making plays down the seam, that's what Gronkowski does well. Similar to what Bolden did for the Ravens tonight. He made a couple of plays down the seam, and both his touchdowns were the same exact play. He just went up and over McCourty the first time and Marquise Cole the second time. So, the Patriots could have used a guy like that making a play downfield. I think in general, the Patriots did a good job taking away the deep ball from the Ravens. There were no Jacoby Jones, Torrey Smith-type breakdowns from the week before against the Denver Broncos. They didn't make plays like that in this game, and I didn't think the Ravens would, and they didn't. But the Patriots didn't have anything close to any big plays down the field. Their longest play was that catch and run to Welker, 36 yards. That wasn't an over-the-top play. They took some shots down the field to Welker, including on the Patriots' opening drive. 3rd and 2, they took a shot to Welker. He couldn't reel it in, but there were no plays softening up underneath, and it's part of the reason you saw Welker get crushed, Hernandez get crushed, because everyone was so close to the line of scrimmage, everyone was so bunched up, people were getting their blocks knocked off. 508-298-0398. It's how you give us a call. Sunlight Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones with you here on Patriots.com. We'll get to your emails as well. Webradio at Patriots.com. But let's head to the podium. Hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his team's disappointing loss in the AFC Championship game, 28-13 to the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, obviously a disappointing end to an overall pretty positive season. But, tonight we just didn't do enough things well enough to win. Give the Ravens credit. They're a good football team. They just outplayed us and outcoached us tonight. They just made more plays than we did. And that's pretty much the story.
What did they change that could happen to be so difficult for you guys to score?
Yeah, well, they did a good job. I wouldn't say it was anything that they didn't do in the first half. They just did a better job than we did.
Bill, how much did the injury to kind of change the plan on defense?
Well, we had to make some adjustments. Yeah, we lost Kyle. We lost Talib. But don't think anything was really as good as it needed to be tonight. Gave up too many points, didn't score enough. So I'd say we probably came up a little short in every area. Focused on this game. I mean,
Bill, what did you see in a play where Steven fumbled? They reviewed it. It looked very close as to whether he was down or not.
Yeah, that was the official's call.
What was your opinion on the play?
It's their call. It was, they ruled it a turnover, so it's an official review. It's not. No, it's not anything I can do.
No, I know. But I mean, did you have a chance to see the replay? And what did you think?
It doesn't make any difference. The officials call the game. Well, there's a lot of plays in the game. There's a lot of things we could have done better, all of us. So, like I said, it just really wasn't good enough. It wasn't as good as the Ravens tonight. So that's why they're moving on and we're not. They were just better than we were in really everything. We're obviously disappointed that we didn't win. I mean, I don't know. I said that right off the bat. We're disappointed in the results. What else do you want me to say?
How big do you think the field position was?
I don't know. It was certainly to our advantage. We had a 13-7 lead. But We missed a lot of opportunities tonight. We missed them in, you know, 1-for-3 in the red area. Couldn't stop them in the red area. So, like I said, we gave up too many points and didn't score enough. We had to make some adjustments, yeah. We had to make some adjustments in what we were doing. When Kyle went out and when Talib went out, we had to make some adjustments there. But, I mean, that's the National Football League.
Bill, what happened on the last drive of the first half there? Tom had to run, slid, and try to get back to the line of scrimmage, and then ended up calling the timeout with 4 seconds left.
Because if we had snapped the ball and run the play, I think if we hadn't scored, we wouldn't have had time to get another playoff, so we wanted to take the 3 points.
Was there any thought by anyone calling an immediate timeout after the slip?
Well, not really. No, because I thought we could get up there and where we wanted to try to get up there and clock it and have time to run a play and have the timeout to kick the field goal. So, no, not really. I mean, I guess if we had known that it would have taken as long as it did to get the ball finally clocked, but then, you know, we didn't get a great look on the play. Tom actually called timeout the same time I did, so it's, you know, we just didn't have it.
Particularly in the second half defensively, taking adjustments if they were coming alive. So that's what
hurt your offense in the second half.
Did they make any?
Yes.
No, I thought they pretty much played what they played in the second half. Well, so that's what they played in the first half.
So how would you evaluate the run game tonight? You guys are, I think, 3.9 carry up around 4. Did you?
I think everything could have been a little better. It's the bottom line. Nothing was really good enough. Everything, you know, a lot of things were okay. It was competitive, but it wasn't as good as the Ravens tonight in any area. So we just came up short.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick in a borderline one-on-one there with Chris Gasper following the 28-13 loss for the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Adam Jones with you here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show on Patriots.com. And look, I thought Gasper asked a lot of the questions that I wanted to hear answers to. And on the clock management right before halftime, I don't know if you caught this from Belichick, but he said something very interesting to me. It was there any thought to what you want to do? What do you want to do at the end of the half? Did you want to call a timeout there? There were 26 seconds when the ball was snapped. Brady ran over to the sideline. So what was it, Collins? 19, 20 seconds by the time he was getting up and ready to come back. And Belichick said he wanted him to clock it. And Brady ran a play. So, I don't know, that's still on the head coach at some point. Like, you can call a timeout from the sideline. So, at some point, he's got to see that's off, and I don't know. To me, it sounded like Belichick didn't like what Brady did there. If he wanted Brady to clock it, and Brady tried to run a play, and Belichick ultimately called the timeout with 4 seconds left, I don't think he was happy with the way that Brady executed things there. And look, a few of the other questions, like, Belichick's just not going to answer, you know, all of these questions that he's getting peppered with, and he's not going to answer how he sees fit, or he's not going to answer if he doesn't see fit, rather. So some of the stuff that you keep circling back to, I guess that, you know, you're trying to pull an answer out of him, but that one I thought was interesting. And that one I thought told you he didn't like the way Brady handled the end of the first half. And look, between Brady and Belichick, there's a lot of blame to go around in this one. And typically they're so good in big games, and typically they get all the credit. They're going to get some blame for this one, and they should. You know, Belichick punted 3 times in Ravens territory, once on a 4th and 2 at the Ravens 45, and another time at their 12, they settled for a field goal instead of going for it on a 4th and 2. So Belichick, ultra-conservative, Brady a couple of picks, and just by and large, when your offense doesn't score in the second half, that's on Brady, no matter what the stats say. If you can't score in the second half, that's on the quarterback. I'm sorry. 508-298-0398. A lot of you waiting patiently on the phones. We'll get to you next. We'll also get to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. But we head to the podium next. Hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady on patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Welcome back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Adam Jones with you here, Sun Life Patriots postgame show on patriots.com. Second and final hour as we take you up until shortly before midnight on the East Coast. Patriots fall to the Ravens 28-13. In the AFC Championship game, and yet another disappointing game for the Patriots offense. By the way, looking over some of these tweets, and we've referenced what Terrell Suggs has said, calling the Patriots arrogant, fanning the flames of Spygate, and again, you win these games, you get to say what you want, so Patriots could have shut them up with a win. They didn't, so they're having their moment in the sun. Bernard Pollard, after the game, remember the high slide that Brady had, where he went in with his cleat up going into Brady, going into Pollard, rather, and Pollard called that bull crap. I'm reading that on a few of the tweets. And look, it is absolutely insane. Insane that it was once again Bernard Pollard who knocked out a Patriot in this game. And I had forgotten a few of these. Everyone remembers Brady, that Pollard was there and knocked him out. Everyone remembers that he was the closest player to Welker when Welker tore his ACL in 2009. I had forgotten this other one. He was in on the play, Collins, last year when Gronkowski hurt his ankle. Like, I had totally forgotten that one, to be honest. I remember
dragged him down from behind.
I remembered Welker. I obviously remembered Brady. I had forgotten the Gronkowski one, and now he knocks out Ridley, who I saw Jeff Howe tweet something to the effect of, it's not a significant concussion, so he'll be okay. And I was like, okay, well, it doesn't matter. The season's over. I hope by the time preseason rolls around next year, Stephen Ridley will be over the hit that he took from, you know, Bernard Pollard. However, if the Patriots are playing in 2 weeks, that would be a significant narrative. Let's get to some of these phone calls before we head back to the podium and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who was no doubt disappointing in this game with a couple of interceptions. Let's talk to Marcellus in Baltimore. What's going on, Marcellus?
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, man.
Well, it's safe to say I'm not liking where I live right now. It's going to be a tough couple of weeks.
So you're a Patriots fan in Baltimore. I assumed you were a Ravens fan.
Oh, no. I'm a Patriots fan, diehard Patriots fan.
Well, I apologize for what you got to put up with for the next 2 weeks, man. I apologize for that.
Thank you. But I just feel like the Ravens just, I don't want to say bullied us, but kind of bullied us. You know what I mean?
I think it's a good word.
It seems like, I'm sorry?
I think that's a good word for what the Ravens did. They came in, they were more physical, they did bully you. I agree.
Yeah, it's just that it seems like every time we play them, I know it's not the Patriots way to, you know, talk smack and do, get all hyped and everything like that, but I feel as though we need that every once in a while. Like, tonight would have been a perfect game for that. To just go toe-to-toe with them, hit them as hard as they're hitting us, and just do the thing. Go out and try to win a game. Fight for it. And with Welker, I don't know what's up with Welker. That job, I mean, I feel like I could have made that catch, you know?
But right there. It was right in the bread basket.
He's a great player. I mean, I don't want to lose him. But Julian Edelman, I call him Wes Welker Jr., he's just like Welker to me, so I don't know. The injuries added up in the end, and it was a good year, even though it ended terribly, but hopefully we'd be right back in the next year. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, well, Marcellus, and good luck in Baltimore with those Ravens fans. Again, I apologize for that. Was it a good year? You know, that's something that I go back and forth on. Like, obviously we're all disappointed by the loss. Was it a good year? Patriots were in the Super Bowl a year ago. They faced the same exact team. I think they're a more talented team this year, the Patriots, though I guess you could make the same argument for the Ravens. And you lost an AFC Championship game on your home field, which the Patriots had not done before. In fact, it's only the third home playoff loss for the Patriots in the Belichick-Brady era. So, I don't know. You look at that and you sit here and go, man, you know, this is... It's not only a bad taste in your mouth and a disappointing finish, but I look at it as a failure. You know, I look at this season as a failure. If they had to go into Denver, if they had to go on the road in the AFC Championship game, I would feel differently about it. Like I do in 2006, that year was not a failure. They had to go into Indy, they had a big lead, and it's disappointing how the game transpired, but it wasn't a failure. This, to me, a Ravens team that you had beaten a year ago, and you're more talented, that's a failure to me. It is. So I like what the Patriots are building towards, but it's hard for me to sit here and say, great season. It wasn't. Not the way it finished. Not when you're a 10-point favorite on your home field with a chance to go back to the Super Bowl. 508-298-0398. Ken is in Orange County. What do you got, Ken?
Hey, yeah, I'm taking the call.
How you doing, man? No problem.
Hey, good. Obviously, really disappointed. Just didn't work out today, but... you know, I felt sure if we could just get by Baltimore and, you know, that'd give us a chance to get back to where it all started for us in New Orleans. You know, it, either way, it's our chances. But, as far as offense, we're not a gimmick on the offense. We're the most powerful offense in the league. Can't underestimate that, you know.
Well, Ken, I don't disagree with that. They were number one in scoring this year, right? So I think gimmick is too strong of a word, and I haven't really honed in on the right word yet. But their last five playoff losses, they haven't scored more than 21 points. So it's solvable. Like, good defenses can slow it down. If we've seen anything, Ken, we've seen that. This is not an out-of-left-field thing. You know, this isn't a one-time thing where, oh, the Patriots' offense struggled in a big game. No, their last five playoff losses, that's a commonality. So I agree. Gimmick is too strong of a word, Ken, but there's an issue there with the offense in some of these big games against better and better defenses.
Yeah, not having, you know, Gronkowski and Edelman today is for, you know, that just gives Brady two less options to work with. But, you know, on the other side of it, I would say in the off season, you know, we should definitely be looking into picking up a veteran corner. And, you know, another upside, I'm excited to see if Demps and Ballard are around next year. That could be something good. And if we can keep a majority of these guys, anything's possible.
Yeah.
Have a great offseason.
Look, Ken, I like the core, and thanks for the phone call. I like the core that the team has. You know, I think it's a talented core, and I think they're building towards something, especially on defense. But again, I can't sit here and tell you this was a success of a season. I mean, Belichick said there were positives. Certainly there were. But my feeling on it right now, and I don't know, maybe this will change, but I felt this way going into the game. If they lost this game, it's a disappointment. Excuse me, beyond a disappointment. It's a failure of a season. And I think it's hard to just sit here and say, well, they made the AFC Championship game. Well, they went against a team that I thought was spiraling out of control at the end of the season. And they had them on their home field, and they were 10-point favorites. That's a failure. That's a failure to me. So it's harsh to say, but that's how I feel about it. By the way, on Terrell Suggs, Mike Flynn, who works at 98.5 The Sports Hub and former Ravens center, actually had a cup of coffee here in Foxborough. His reply to Dan Wetzel's tweet about Terrell Suggs, or his comments to Dan Wetzel, tell them to have fun at the Pro Bowl, those arrogant effers, is what Suggs said. Flynn's response, this is a guy who played in the league. That's the attitude you need to win in Foxborough. Tough to do, tweets Flynn. Now look, he played for Baltimore, but is there something to that? The Ravens' attitude. F those arrogant effers, right? Is that what you need to go win in Foxborough? Is there something to that? I would tend to listen to a guy like Mike Flynn, who played in the league, knows both of these teams well. That's a guy to listen to, in my view, and that's how he feels about it. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Bill in Pennsylvania. What do you got, Bill?
Hi, Adam. How are you?
Doing well, man. As well as you can be doing following that game.
Oh, my God. That was just terrible to watch after the end of the first half. And did you check Twitter? Shannon Sharp is trending because he was criticizing Bill Belichick for not giving CBS a postgame conference.
Let me update this story. So I've been monitoring it, but again, we're in here with a bunch of muted televisions. So what happened? He blew off CBS. He didn't do a postgame interview, and Shannon Sharp took him to task and said, you can't essentially be a poor sport every time you lose.
Yeah, basically, remember last year when the Ravens lost and they were interviewing Jim Harbaugh in the locker room, and he was acting all disappointed and everything. Mm-hmm. They were saying that Bill Belichick was supposed to give an interview. It's like showing that you're a good sport. But because he didn't do it, that the Patriots organization supposedly are all bad sports, which is just extremely annoying to me, because on my Twitter feed, all of my like friends who are Ravens fans are tweeting me the same things over and over again.
Well, Bill, then this is what I would tell you. I don't make a big deal of it, but Belichick puts that on himself, right? Like, if Belichick just shows up and does the interview like every other coach, then it wouldn't be a big deal. And he can stand up there and take it. He did it at the podium. So if you're frustrated about it, then I would be frustrated with Bill Belichick. I don't think it's a big deal that he blew him off, but Belichick does have a track record of doing these sort of things. Walking away mid-interview, or, you know, not being pleasant after a loss, which I think is understandable. You know, that's a big gut-punchable loss, and he's right at the heart of it. So I understand being frustrated, but most coaches do that interview. So Bill doesn't have to do it if he doesn't want to, but then he's got to hear the poor sport thing, and Patriots fans have to hear the poor sport thing, and that's Bill's decision.
And I have one more point to say. Everyone on social media and everything who are criticizing Patriots, saying that they're gimmick offense, they haven't won since Spygate. I'm pretty sure the Patriots are consistently the top team in the NFL. They're Super Bowl favorites every single year. Those people are just jealous of our success, and there's no reason you should be hating on us just because we're winning.
Well, look, I think the Patriots bring that on themselves too. And Bill, I appreciate the phone call. You know, they do carry themselves arrogantly. You know, Brady, we played the audio for you. Sorry, not here, but during the week, I played some of this audio, and I'm sure you've seen it. The sound effects from NFL Films last week with Brady. It was like an unbelievable contrast where Brady berates an official, and the official winds up apologizing to Brady. Meanwhile, Glover Quinn, the Texan safety, gets steamrolled by Aaron Hernandez, just gets run over. And the official sits there and goes, what are you talking about? I didn't see it. So just, you know, it does seem like there's a double standard at times. And that's with quarterbacks, period. But that's the perception of Tom Brady. And, you know, he's there. He's in your face. He yells at defensive players, as we've seen in the past, where he does that big motion for a first down when he runs for a first down. He slides into Bernard Pollard, spikes up. So, look, some of that you just have to deal with. You have to deal with that. When you lose a game like this, you're going to have to deal with your arrogant, and you're going to have to deal with Spygate. Until you get a win after that, that's what you're going to have to do. That's what you're going to have to do. So I know that's disappointing, and that's why these losses are so difficult for Patriots fans, but that's why they need that fourth Super Bowl. Not just for Brady's legacy, but to get rid of the Spygate thing. You're going to continue to hear it until the Patriots win. That sucks, but that's reality. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. Look again. Brady, disappointing in this game. Two picks. I think you can look at the overall numbers and say, he had 300 yards. Patriots were shut out in the second half. The offense blew a 13-7 lead. They were 67-0 in home games when leading at halftime with Tom Brady as quarterback. 67-0. This was their first loss. So all of those things snowballed together. His rating was in the 60s, and they're shut out in the second half. That's on the quarterback. And after the game, 28-13 loss in the AFC Championship game, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady spoke at the podium.
Disappointed. You know, I think we obviously didn't play very well. And you don't play very well against a good team. You know, it's not even very competitive. So it's unfortunate. We just couldn't make any critical plays when we needed to.
Tom, you guys threw a 54, ran at 28. Was that function of getting behind, or was the game plan really to transfer these guys out to throw it?
Oh, we got behind in the second half there and became one-dimensional and, you know, just couldn't string enough good plays together to get the ball in the end zone.
You had said in the season opener in Tennessee, after you guys, the toughness of your team is defined by being able to run the ball when they know it's coming and stop the run when they know it's coming. Did you feel you guys were able to do that tonight? There were a lot of third and two, second and twos where you guys were shotgun throwing it.
You know, I have to see the film, but, you know, whatever we did, we didn't execute it very well, so... The name of the game is execution, and if you don't execute well against a good team, like I said, it's, you know, you're not going to come up on the winning end.
Because it wasn't like it was 36, 37, 38. Sometimes you have to call it the first half base, and then second
half
or second half.
Yeah. Yeah, we stayed on track for the most part, you know, avoided some negative plays. You know, but they make it tough on you. They're a good team, very good defense. And, you know, they kept the pressure on, and you know, we just didn't really stand up to the challenge.
How many of you guys really appreciating these opportunities that Frank was being?
Well, it's part of the competition. You know, you have the opportunity to, you know, win the game, and, you know, we came up short. So, you know, there's frustration in that. You know, we wish we could have done better. You know, but they're not going to give it to you. You know, and you know, we didn't earn it. They earned it. They played a good game.
Tom, what happened at the end of the first half? Time it seemed you guys just got a little flustered there, trying to figure out what you wanted to do there.
Well, we had one timeout left, so we were trying to save that for the field goal. You know, we'd love to got the touchdown there, but, you know, to settle for the field goal and, you know, go up whatever it was, 13-7 and a half. You know, we felt pretty good about where we're at halftime. We just didn't come out in the second half and execute very well. Yeah, well, it always comes to a screeching halt. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's, you know, there's only two teams advance, and, you know, those two teams deserve it. So, you know, we've lost before. Takes a while to get over.
The way it was set up for you, Tom, do you feel like it was an opportunity loss?
Yeah, well, I think we've been, you know, being in a situation, the playoffs is always opportunity loss when you lose. Because, you know, we think we have a pretty good team. We just didn't play well. Thank you, guys.
Do you feel like it was an opportunity loss? Of course. Of course it was. Now, again, how do you frame it? I think you look at the whole season as a failure, or at least this playoff run certainly as a failure. 12 wins, they did get the 2 seed. But I don't know. The way I feel about it right now, You should have beat the Ravens here when you're a 10-point favorite on your home field. They hadn't lost an AFC championship game on their home field with Brady and Belichick. The only other one they lost was in 2006 to the Indianapolis Colts. So that's a failure to me. You know, that's something they should have won, and they came up short in. Now, doesn't mean they can't come back next year. They have a nice core for next season. But for right now, that's a failure. You know, and there were pluses and strides made. But again, this offense in a tight spot, and it starts with that guy you just heard from, Tom Brady. But this offense in tough spots, tight playoff games against good defenses, they continue to struggle. And I thought they had the antidote. I thought the running game and the balance offensively was enough. And maybe you miss Gronkowski or you miss that player who can loosen things up, whether it's Brandon Lloyd on the outside who did none of that, whether it's Gronkowski down the seam. And there was none of that in this game tonight. However, I spent however many days leading up to this game saying I didn't think Gronkowski, while you were going to miss him, of course, I didn't think it was going to be a significant factor in this game. And I don't know. I'm not going to pin just losing Gronkowski and just explain this game away and say they lost because they didn't have Gronkowski. No. The game plan in the second half was poor. There were zero adjustments. And I thought that clock management right before halftime, you heard Brady say it there. Belichick said he wanted him to clock it. Brady said we still have a timeout. So it seems like those two didn't see eye to eye on that one. Brady's essentially saying, well, call the timeout. And Belichick's essentially saying, clock it and save the timeout. So it doesn't sound like they're on the same page with that play. And I guess we could all see that with our own eyes, but rarely do you hear them by that point in the post game, not in agreement. And that's what you heard, in my view. But I think it goes deeper than just not having Gronkowski. Like, that to me is just too convenient of an excuse. Oh, well, they weren't healthy? Well, I don't know. The Ravens were without their best corner. And everybody's dinged up this time of year. So it's hard for me to just sit here and explain it away with one injury. They should have won this game with or without Gronkowski. That's my feeling on it. I would have reevaluated and discussed it with the Niners, where I think you need every single, you know, bullet in your gun. You need every single elite player and elite matchup, and you need all of those things in a Super Bowl against a defense like the Niners. But against this Ravens team, I didn't feel that way. I thought the Patriots would score in the 30 without Gronkowski, and yet again, their offense has slowed down in the postseason. Why? You know, why do we say that every single time the Patriots fall in the playoffs? 508-298-0398. Let's go to Sean in Ohio. What do you got, Sean?
Hi, Adam. How are you doing?
As good as you can do, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, I really wanted to talk about the game tonight. I mean, if the win wasn't a factor or anything, you think Belichick would have called out, you know, Gronkowski to kick a couple of them field goals when we was in the, you know, in that between 35-40 yard range?
I think the win made it impossible, Sean. I just think with what we were reading, and I wasn't out there, but with what we were reading, the win made it impossible. I wasn't asking them to kick field goals. And I just wanted him to go for it, whether it was from the 12-yard line. You look back now and you go, man, 4th and 2 from the 12, they could have gone for that thing. But, all right, they took the points. Fine. How about 4th and 2 from the 45, Baltimore's 45? You punt from there. When's the last time you saw Belichick do that? I don't recall it very often, so perhaps I'm missing it. But that, to me, is something that Belichick, when he's normally aggressive and normally coaching this team, that's something he goes for, and he chose not to there for whatever reason.
Right. And also, another thing on the game, with the late hits and everything, did you think really that it was more of a vicious hits, you know, blows to the helmet than it was, or it's accidental?
The Pollard hit?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was a vicious hit, but look, it's not, you're not going to flag it there. It's not a defenseless receiver. It's a running back trying to make a play. So, I mean, it was a vicious hit. It's a vicious game. And he got knocked out cold. I'm not pinning it on Ridley. I'm not sitting here saying he should have held on to the football or anything of that nature. But, yeah, it was a vicious hit. But that's what Bernard Pollard does. And it's unbelievable, again, that he's been linked to so many of these injuries. Brady knocked him out. Welker, closest one when he tore up his ACL. Gronkowski in the AFC Championship game last year. And now Ridley. But I don't think there was anything dirty about what Pollard did there. That's a hit. Maybe helmet to helmet, but that's a hit where he just knocked the other guy out. So it's hard to sit there and say that's dirty. What Brady did going in spikes up to Pollard, I think you could argue that that was dirtier than what Pollard did. I would argue that. So, no, I mean, it's an unbelievable coincidence that Pollard's always that guy, but I don't think that was dirty. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Alex in Connecticut. What do you got, Alex?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, man?
Man, it hurts. Come from a real Patriots fan. It hurts.
I don't want to be one of the Patriots fans that's there and say, oh, without Gronk and all that other nonsense. Only thing I think Gronk probably would have helped out today, maybe a few more catches, better run. I mean, clearly better, a little bit better run blocking. I mean, without Gronk, really hasn't been over 100. You can look this up. Really hasn't been over 100 yards since Gronk. They had a 97 in the New York Jets game. It's not like we were up by like 40. But, I mean, to sit here and put all your, like, I mean, as a real fan, to put all your effort to watch, like, every day Bleacher Report, NFL Network, coming from a real, like, NFL Patriots fan, every day type thing after work. I mean, I just don't know what Belichick could understand more than that secondary is a joke. It's like a joke. I thought I would keep the lead being hurt in, what, the second drive there. I mean, the only thing I can say is Xavier Rhodes. Get familiar with that name. I mean, as Patriots fans, let's pray for Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah.
He can be the savior of that defense, man.
Yeah, I mean, Alex, look, I like the way the defense is trending. I don't have the defense under the microscope after this game, and thanks for the phone call, but I don't have the defense under the microscope in this game. Now, look, if you want to tell me that Tlaib could have made some plays on Bolden that McCourty and Marquise Cole couldn't, well, fine. And look, Tlaib, he played two drives. The Ravens had 2-3 and outs. And in the six plays he was on defense for, he had a tight coverage on Bolden on second down, and he broke up a play on third down and then tweaked his hamstring or his thigh, as it was reported upstairs, but certainly looked like a hamstring injury. On a third of the plays he was out there today, he made a play. He made a key play for the Patriots. So, I don't know. I hope they re-sign Tlaib just like I hope they re-sign Welker. And Vollmer's another guy who they're going to have as a free agent. So, out of those three, and I would assume it's Welker is the guy they would franchise, but who knows? Maybe they decide to go the Vollmer route to make sure they keep him if they can't work something out. And then you lose that negotiating chip with Wes Welker. So, I don't know. Those are the three key free agents from this vantage point. Maybe I'm missing somebody. But Welker, Tlaib, Vollmer, in whatever order you want, those are the guys you got to tie up. And I hope Tlaib's back. But I think the Patriots want him back. That's clear. They were the team that wanted him at the trade deadline. They went and got him. But what does he want? What's he asking for on the market? And if it's too much, they're not going to pay for him. I don't believe. As good as he was here and it's as much as he turned things around in the secondary, if he wants to break the bank, he ain't going to be back. That's my feeling on it. Continue with your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Patriots fall to the Ravens, 28-13 in the AFC Championship game. We'll roll on with the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. We're presented by Sun Life Financial. They can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit, get to know Sun Life. We continue with your phone calls, your emails. Go to webradio@patriots.com. And coming up next on the post-game show, we head back to the podium. Hear from Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork. That's next on patriots.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, a tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support.
2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with Better Banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America, the Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Hey.
Have a hot take on today's game? Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Adam Jones.
Couple of things here before we get back to your phone calls. 508-298-0398. We'll eventually head back to the podium here from Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork as well in the moments we have left here on the postgame show, taking you up to shortly before 11 o'clock Eastern here on Patriots.com. Here's the entire Q&A from Wes Welker on being a free agent at season's end. Question, do you think you'll be back with the Pats next year? Welker, I'm not so sure. I'm not worried about that right now. Next question. How difficult is it heading into the offseason with some uncertainty with your future plans? Welker, I'm really not worried about it at all. It's a tough loss, and I'm just trying to get over it at the moment. Question, would you be frustrated if the team franchise tagged you again? Like I said, not worried about any of it. So Welker not biting. And look, that's a major question to start to sift through going forward. And we'll have more thoughts on that coming up, I'm sure. But in the immediate aftermath of the game, we'll keep it to the game. I think Welker should be back, but it's another story for another day. There's also this. Bill Levy, the referee for today's game, was asked by a pool reporter, which I believe was Mike Reese, can you give an explanation on what you saw in the hood when you went to review the Ridley play, the Ridley fumble in the fourth quarter that confirmed the ruling on the field? Levy, what I saw was the receiver going to the ground. He had both legs off the ground. No body part was on the ground. The ball hit his knee and dislodged from his hand before the rest of his body hit the ground. Therefore, it was a fumble, and we confirmed it. So there you go. There's the referee's story on why they upheld the fumble, which, by the way, I think was the right call. It's completely 1,000% unfortunate that that's the way it worked out, but he wasn't to the ground yet. I mean, it was a fumble. By definition of the rule, it was a fumble. So they had the call right there. Let's go to Jake in Pittsburgh. What do you got, Jake?
Hey, Adam. What's going on?
How you doing, man?
Good. Hey, first off, I just want to thank you and Kevin for a good show this season. It's been great. I've enjoyed listening.
Well, we appreciate it, man. This is going to be our last one regardless, Super Bowl or not, but it's a tough way to end it, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You commented earlier on Brady and Belichick, and I have this is kind of a weird comment, but hopefully it's a unique take. I kind of look back on it and kind of go back to Super Bowl 42, and it seems like they've just been kind of hungover in every playoff game since. I mean, I know they didn't make the playoffs in 2008, but it just seems like, I don't know, maybe that had a, I mean, because that was a huge game, and I mean, arguably the biggest game in franchise history, at least that's my opinion.
I think it was the biggest in the history of the franchise, Jake, I agree.
And I just think losing that, I mean, you're 18-0, you're on the brink of NFL immortality, best team ever, and losing, especially the way they lost that game, I just think had a big effect on Brady and Belichick, and maybe has affected their psyche and confidence, and maybe I just think that they're still hung over from it, and I don't know if that's a good way to put it, but it just seems just an observation I've kind of seen since.
Well, look, I don't disagree with it, Jake, and thanks for the phone call. The reality is, at this point, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, despite all their wins, lost the biggest game they ever played in. That would have shut up everyone about Spygate. It would have been their fourth Super Bowl. They would have been 4-4 in Super Bowls. They would have completed the first 19-0 undefeated season in NFL history. That was the biggest game they ever played in. They played in other big games. That was the biggest. So you went from having this air of invincibility about you, which got knocked down a couple of pegs. In 2005, you lost to the Broncos in the postseason. That was your first postseason loss. You lost to Peyton Manning in the AFC Championship game. So, you know, that's losing a big game with a huge lead in that game, 21-3 or whatever it was, and a chance to return to the Super Bowl. So it's not like they hadn't lost before, but I understand where the caller's coming from. Does that take away some of that air of invincibility and the assumption that you're going to pull out all these games? They were on the brink of perfection. They were on the brink of having the greatest season in NFL history, completing the greatest season in the NFL's history, and they come up short. So, yeah, will that screw with your psyche, and does it take away from some of the allure and that untouchable nature with this Patriots team? I would go down that road. I don't know it definitively, but I certainly allow for it. Let's go to Chris in Arizona. What do you got, Chris?
How you doing, Adam? It's actually kind of funny that the caller just brought up the Super Bowl that you mentioned with the perfect season. I live out here in Scottsdale now. I'm from New Hampshire originally, so the Patriots are my team. I'm 37. I've been following them since I've been 13 or 12 years old, so they have my heart. I actually went to the Super Bowl it was my only game I've ever gone to see the Patriots. I actually sat in a suite with Cal Ripken Jr. and Ryan Seacrest, of all people.
Imagine how weird, right?
But
it's probably less awkward
even...
than Gronkowski and Kraftbox today, but yeah, that was probably a little weird, yeah.
It was really cool. My best friend that I was with at the time, Cal Ripken Jr., was his idol, you know, because he grew up in Baltimore, so it was kind of cool that, you know, we had that. But anyways, moving forward, I want to say just a couple of points. One, about what you talked about the era of invincibility and things like that. I'm really sad and down about the fact of how Brady came out, you know, just on fire, you know, in the beginning of his career, winning the 3 Super Bowls like he did, and I was so proud and so happy. And I still am very proud of the team, but I was so excited at the opportunity to be able to have him win 4 straight Super Bowls, enjoying Montana and, Terry Bradshaw and this, that, and the other, and being so young at the time to be able to surpass that. And so, you know, and so not just Brady, but the Patriots as a team as well, but just, you know, from a quarterback standpoint and being a fan of him and everything like that, it's just heart-wrenching to see these types of losses. And just on a side note, everywhere you go, you know, to watch a game and things like that, my girlfriend and I went out and watched, the Ravens game against the Patriots tonight. Everybody cheers against the Patriots. Like, they're not even fans of the other team. It's just the hate of the Patriots. It's just kind of crazy. And thirdly, the other thing that I wanted to follow up on, and I know I'm kind of bouncing around, but the way the format is on the show, you move quickly, is it's personnel. Like, at some point, I just really beg and want Belichick to just kind of understand, you know, not that I can teach him anything. I'm not being stupid here. I'm just trying to say, like, at some point, like, if Talib wants the money, we got to pay him the money. If it's another cornerback, we've got to do it. Our secondary, like everybody says, is just completely terrible. And linebackers that can actually stay with a running back. Well, you know, when they get out in the flat and everything like that, it's just really kind of hard to watch.
Well, Chris, a couple of things, and I appreciate the thoughts, and there was a lot there. On the secondary, I don't feel that they let you down in this game today. I don't. I think the offense is what let you down, and I want to circle back to that in a minute. But in terms of paying guys, you're right. Like, they should pay Talib. They have $18 million under the cap, depending on, you know, how much you buy into the salary cap. That's what they have to operate under, and they can always restructure and find other loopholes and other ways to get guys paid, but if you're going to eat up 11 of that with Welker, it doesn't exactly leave a lot to pay Talib. That said, I think that was a more accurate criticism of the Patriots a few seasons ago. The last couple of years, they've been paying guys. They have. They paid Mayo. They paid Hernandez. They paid Gronkowski. They've been paying guys. They paid Mankins. You know, it took a while, but they paid him. So I look at it, and I don't think that's an accurate criticism. They've been paying guys. So maybe they need to pay a cornerback, and maybe that's what he was getting at, and we'll see if they do that with Talib. My belief is if he wants a lot of money, they'll figure it out. They'll go somewhere else. But who knows? Maybe with a game like today, they looked at it and said 2-3 and outs with Talib out there, and he's able to man up on a guy like Andre Johnson, so let's bring him back. I don't know how they look at it, but my gut instinct there is they'll go find somebody else. They gave up a 4th-round pick for him after all. It's not like they gave up a high draft pick, which tells you a little bit about how they view the player. On the offense, again, 2007, just to circle back to it, is that real line of demarcation for the Patriots for me. That's when they went to this team with an offense-first identity. And I think they still have that, though the defense is getting better, and I think their personnel has been getting better and better on that side of the football. They're still an offense-first team. And maybe other teams can win that way. They certainly have. The Saints have. The Packers have. And, you know, who knows? We may see another team like that going forward, but for the Patriots, they have not been able to win that way. They've been able to get awfully close, but they haven't been able to win that way. So some of it is the identity. Do you have to be a tougher, more physical team? And, you know, some of it is, are they too finesse in some of these games? Not a gimmick, but finesse, I do think, is the better word for the Patriots offense, and maybe that's part of the issue. It's what we've been trying to get to throughout the course of the show. 508-298-0398. That's how you give us a call here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. You've already heard from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady and their head coach, Bill Belichick. Let's head back to the podium and hear from a member of that defense, defensive lineman and captain Vince Wilfork.
Very disappointing. When you work so hard to get to this point, you know, somebody have to win and lose, you know, and tonight we just didn't make enough plays. You know, they made more plays than we made. I thought we had a good plan going into the game. But at the end of the day, they just made a lot more plays than us, but it's very disappointing. But we have a hell of a team. We know what it takes to win. We're going to fight our tails off in the off season. We're going to get back, you know, to playing the way we know how to play. We'll be back here. I think they came out and kind of up-tempo a little bit with, you know, a different personnel, and we struggled with it. I mean, that's basically what it was. I mean, it wasn't anything that we didn't know they was going to do. You know, last week they did the same thing. You know, they came out and there's certain personnel and actually moved the ball very well, and they did it again tonight. You know, but we had opportunities. We had opportunity. We had them second and longs, third and longs, where, you know, they converted. But those conversions, we have to, you know, we have to be able to get off the field. I don't think everything was bad. I think we played, you know, pretty well at times. But, you know, but when we needed it, we just didn't make enough plays. And they're a good football team now. I mean, it seems like every year it's us and them, always fighting at the end. And you're looking at two good organizations, two good football teams. So I'm not going to downplay them, you know, one bit. They're a great football team. And, you know, the best team won tonight.
There's both you and Converse have to speak about fielding yet and appreciation for the opportunity to be aware that.
It's tough. It's very tough. But you know, you win and you lose some. At this point, you know, everybody want to win. AFC Championship, playing and go to a Super Bowl. You know, you play to win. You know, when you lose this game, it's tough. You know, because you put so much into it all year, the off season, the practice, the conditioning, the weightlifting, everything. Time away from your family, at training camp where, you know, you don't see your family but a little bit of time. So you put a lot into it. And for it to come to an end like this, I mean, it hurts. You know, it do hurts. You know, but it happens, you know. We can't do anything now but to get better from this. And it's a tough pill to swallow. I don't know. I mean, I love playing football, and taking a loss like this kind of question, you know, how long you want to play, you know, but it's just the moment. You know, I'll get over it. You know, it's tough. I'll get over it after the Super Bowl and, you know, go through my little spells. My wife will get pissed off at me and throw things at me, and I'll get over it, and I'll be back to, you know, playing, want to play, can't wait for the season to start, so... I love football. I love my teammates. I love the organization, the coaches. I mean, I think we have what it takes to be a championship team. Until I don't feel that no way, that way anymore, I'll call it quits. But I feel good about this team. So I'm looking forward to next year, getting this thing rolling all again, starting from ground zero and moving forward and trying to get it done the right way.
Kyle early in the game, was that too much, in retrospect, too much to overcome?
It was big. when you go in a game with, you know, 3D tackles and you lose one, that's kind of tough. And then when you practice all week, a certain look and, you know, having a guy on a certain guy and doing different things, and when you lose that guy, it kind of changed the whole makeup of your defense. And, you know, those two losses was big losses for us. But all year we've you know, guys stepped in and done a great job. I think even tonight, you know, we stepped in, we had to change a few things, but you know, who would have known if it would have been different, if it wouldn't happen, but we don't know that. You know, I just think the Ravens played better and they made more plays than we made. That was the bottom line, but at the same time, losing those two guys was a key for us. It was. Well, it really wasn't. I say up tempo, but it was just speeding up a little bit. Nothing like, you know, our offense do, but it was just more of them, you know, getting on the ball and calling the plays and basically getting it going, getting the ball out of, you know, Flacco getting the ball out quicker, and not allowing them the rush to get to him. And we struggled with it. So, I think at times we had pretty decent rush, and at times we didn't. I don't think we, you know, hit them enough. I don't think we pressured them enough. But a lot of, I could say that until I look at film, but I know the ball was coming out some quicker than others. So, I mean, it's part of football. I mean, we can sit back and say, or and critique this game and say, we'd have done this, with it. Yeah. It's football. You win some, you lose some. We just happen to be on the losing end this time and have to move forward from it.
You said we'll be back. Why do you think you'll be back?
We know what it takes to win. I mean, we probably one of the most consistent NFL teams that's, you know, have a chance every year. I mean, you go do the math. You go look at the records. You go look at the time we've been in the postseason. We know what it takes. We definitely know what it takes. And I think we have a great football team. I think we have, you know, a great group of coaches. And so there's no question in my mind that we won't be back to this at this level again next year. Yeah, we'll have, you know, we'll come in, we'll meet tomorrow. Everybody's bummed right now. You know, being one of the leads on this team, you know, I can sit in front of you guys and talk to you for the team. A lot of guys might not want to talk, but you know what, it's all about being a professional. You know, it's, you know, you win some, you lose some. I know we have a bunch of guys that's pretty bummed right now. You know, I'm pretty bummed right now. It might not seem like it, but, you know, I am. It hurts because I thought we was a better team than that. And it just didn't show tonight. But tomorrow we'll talk. You know, we'll get with the coaches. We'll, you know, talk about what we got to do moving forward in the off season. You know, our mindset, what our mindset need to be moving forward, and hopefully get it done. Didn't want in the end. You know, every minute was precious. Every second was precious. You know, we know defensively we had to make a stop. But at some point, it's just like you fighting to the last whistle. You know, even when the offense had the ball with, you know, a minute or so left, I still thought we had a chance. But until, you know, they started taking the knee, that's when reality set in that, you know, we was going to take a L on this one. And it's tough, but we'll be back. We're not going to make no excuses. Ravens played a hell of a game. They stuck together. They played tough. They played Raven football. You know, we just didn't make enough plays today to really compete with them at a high level. So we have to learn from it and move forward, and hopefully it can be better next time.
Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork following the Pats' loss. And look, frustrating, to say the least. I don't disagree with Wilfork, by the way, when he said, I think it was Shaughnessy who asked the question, are you going to be back? And he said, I don't have a doubt in my mind we're going to be back. I believe we're going to be back. We know how to win. Look at the numbers. We're as consistent as any organization out there. And look, I mean, he's not wrong about that. I think the Patriots will be back in this type of game next year. They're going to win the division next year, would be my feeling on it. And I think they'll be among the best teams in the conference again. And I love how they're set up going forward. You know, I love the core. I think they're getting better on defense. And that to me is a major, major thing. A major, major thing. You know, they've addressed it somewhat, moving up in the draft to get Chandler Jones, to get Dante Hightower. That to me tells you a little bit about the sense of urgency the Patriots have to win now. Trading up to go get guys that they want. And Chandler Jones barely played in this game today. He's someone that I've failed to really even hone in on. He barely played. He played when the Patriots went to their goal line packages. That was it. So that's another guy that was hurt. Dante Hightower was fairly invisible in this game today. And I'd be curious to look at the snaps. But if the Patriots were in their sub defense a lot, my guess is that would account for a lot of why he was off the field. Patriots have tended to go Mayo and Spikes in those situations. Though Hightower sees time in the nickel as well. But you look at the Patriots' defense, I like the core, I like what they're building towards. I'm sure if they stay relatively healthy next year, they'll be in this spot again. They'll be back in this kind of game. I'm with Wilfork on that. But that doesn't change the fact that this was a major missed opportunity. And it doesn't change the fact that we're sitting here talking about a team that was in this game a year ago against the same exact team on their home field. I feel they're better. And that, to me, is beyond just calling it a disappointment. That's a failure. That's a failure for the Patriots. And it's disappointing to say, and I'm not happy to say it, but that's what it is. If you're going to accurately describe it, that's what it is. So for the Patriots to get back to this spot, a year from now, I wouldn't rule it out. But right now, that's a tough one to take. And you have the Ravens crowing about the Patriots and their arrogance and going on, and that's tough to take as well, but you got to put up with it. And it's the offense, again, that is coming up short for the Patriots in this scenario. We'll leave you with this, and it's something we rolled out at the beginning of the postgame show. Patriots in their last five playoff losses, 13 tonight against the Ravens, 17 against the Giants in Super Bowl 46, 21 against the Jets in 2010 here in Foxborough, 14 the year before that here in Foxborough against the Ravens, and then 14 in Super Bowl 42. What is going on with the offense in those big spots? That's a question that the Patriots are going to have to figure out this offseason. It's something they're going to have to address. How do you get that offense to execute in key spots and big playoff games when the defenses get tougher and the stakes are raised? Because that's five straight games now that the offense, not the defense, has come up short in all of those spots. I apologize we couldn't get to your phone calls here or your emails. We appreciate all of the feedback, not just tonight, but throughout the last two seasons here on Patriots.com. You guys have been great on both the pregame show and on the postgame show. This is our last one of the season, obviously. So for Kevin Collins, I'm Adam Jones. This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.